everybody could please stand. We're going to sing the Star Spangled Banner for our Memorial Day service. We're going to sing the first verse.
You may be seated. Just for a little bit of levity, for those of you who do not have internet, we posted a video explaining how to act when we come back to church, and what some of y'all are giggling. Y'all have seen that video. But I did want to go ahead and show us that video, so we're going to just take a minute and show that video to our people who don't have it. So please enjoy this.
We know you've grown accustomed to having house church, but things are going to be a little bit different now. So we're here to help transition back to a social church atmosphere at your church.
Let's first start with our morning routine, waking up. Typically, we would like everyone to wake up, do their prayers, their devotions, eat a hearty breakfast, and be prepared to do a great day of worship. But we also understand that not everybody's going to be able to fit this. Typically, this would be parents. If your kids wake up early, it is acceptable to pretend like you're still asleep. So we understand if you're not able to get your breakfast or your coffee, and to maintain your sanity, just pretend for a little bit longer, and we'll get started with the second one. Before we get started fine-tuning our facial appearances, let's start off with a bit of hygiene. First, brush your teeth. We know that during house church, you didn't have to do this step, but since you'll be socially mingling with other people of our culture and society, we ask that you maintain a pleasant odor around your mouth. So remember, brush for at least 2 minutes twice a day to help keep those germs and bad breath away. Shaving. We know that during this time of quarantine, you probably grew out your beard. If that's the case and it looks acceptable, we encourage you to please keep it, because beards look handsome. Attire. In growing accustomed to house church, you probably haven't woken up early enough to get a decent set of clothes on. PJs and t-shirts were acceptable from the convenience and comfort of your own home and your lazy boy recliner. But today is going to be a little bit different. You're going to be out in the social air, and you're going to be meeting people and smiling and having a good time. So it's time that we freshen up our look. Remember, going to church is a social event. We ask that you dress the best possible, but we understand we want you to be comfortable as well. So, a good set of blue jeans are acceptable, but we also encourage you to wear khakis or even suit if possible. Now that we're getting on our way, let's remember a few things about social conduct while we're headed to church. First and foremost, remember that people are going to have different opinions on social distancing. They will either want to hug or they'll want to stay away, and there's no way of knowing this unless we communicate. So let's play the better safe than sorry card and keep our distance. Remember to stay at least 6 feet away from one another. If you sneeze or cough, remember to cover your mouth with your shoulder, like this. You try. Remember not to force contact upon anybody. Keeping a safe distance is always the best policy. Always remember to wash and sanitize your hands after any greeting or going to the restroom. Are you ready? All right, here we go. No, wait, hold up. I promise everything is going to be okay. Get your bearings, take a deep breath, and in we go. Don't worry, I'll be with you the whole time, okay? The services are going to be a little bit different for a time being until everything gets back to normal. So let's cover a few things that will be missing and some things that will have to change until that time comes. First and foremost, our greeters are going to stand 6 feet apart from you at the door. They won't try to reach out their hands. They're not trying to be mean or rude or neglect you. They're just trying to maintain a safe distance. So try not to think about how other people are trying to keep their distance. Just remember, we're all in this together, and we're going to stay healthy and worship the Lord the best we can. There'll be a small church in the middle of our vestibule. This is for your tithe. We will not be passing the plate around. We do not want to have any cross contaminations on our plate or people asking for money, so just simply drop it here, either when you come in or when you go out, and the church will receive those tithes at a later time. Also in the vestibule will be masks for you and your family. These are free and of no charge. We want you to feel comfortable, so please feel free to take one if you desire to have one. The pews will be marked off with some blue painter's tape. Remember, as you're looking into these pews, don't sit on the blue pew. This is a simple trick to help you understand where you'll be sitting and where you cannot. When you immediately sit down, you'll recognize that the pews are empty. There will be no books, no tithing envelopes, no pencils. So playing your weekly Sudoku on your newspaper will not help during this time. So we ask that you just remember, just to pay attention, the words of the hymns will be on the screens, and keep your distance and sing to the best of your abilities. As the words come on the screen, remember, we're supposed to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Mask on, mask off, we ask that you would remember, singing is one of the innermost parts of worship. Don't neglect, but do try. If you find yourself getting short of breath, it's okay to release your mask for a little while we sing and put your mask back on. This is something we ask that everyone participate in and not neglect worship in song. The service will be a little shorter than normal. We may have special singing, but we will not be having choir. We're not going to be taking up tithe. And when we leave, we'll have to be done in a formal manner. So we're going to have to cut our service early to make sure that everybody understands how to leave. The sermon will differ from church to church, but remember this, that God is speaking all across this world on how to help our churches prepare for the new normal of this coronavirus. Remember, God still speaks in the midst of crisis. Pay attention, take it to heart, and allow the Lord to do a great work in your life and the life of your family. We will dismiss the church from back pew to front pew. This will allow everyone to leave in a fashion that keeps us at 6 feet apart. Please be respectful of other people's distance. And most of all, remember to be kind and to smile. People haven't seen that happy face in the last 2 months. We want to make a good impression. So remember, be kind, be respectful, smile, and more importantly, be a blessing to people when you can. We hope that you enjoyed the service here at First Free Will in Morehead City. We hope that you receive a blessing from our service, as well as a blessing for the rest of the week. We hope to see you again next week. If you're not able to catch our services in-house, we would encourage you to find us here on Facebook or on YouTube, or you can catch the audio sermon online at ffwbmc.church. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
If everybody can please stand, we're going to sing How Great Thou Art. We're going to sing three verses.
righty, we're going to have one more song after a while. We did have the welcome and prayer during at this time. So just for keeping with our schedule, I know we've already done our welcome and our prayer, but I do want us to say a special prayer for our county, for our church. How many of y'all think it's amazing that, as far as to my knowledge, our church has not been affected by that COVID-19 yet? We haven't had one person that has been hospitalized for it. God has laid his hedge of protection around us, and I, for one, am very grateful. Why don't y'all give God a hand for that? Amen. I tell you, he's been a fantastic God to us, and he has kept us safe throughout this whole ordeal, and I, for one, am very thankful. So let's just spend the time in prayer. We'll let Rebecca catch her breath, and we'll pray, and then we'll let her sing again, and then we'll get into our message. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for all that you have given and keeping us safe during this. But Lord, our hearts go out to those that have been affected by this virus. And Lord, our hearts go out to those who have lost loved ones because of this. Lord, we pray that you would help them mourn as no one on this world can do. Lord, that you be their comforter, that you be the Holy Spirit that rests upon them to give them a peace that passes beyond all understanding. Lord, we ask your blessings to be upon our county, our church, our people, and especially this service for those of us who have come to have fellowship, come to have a unity together. As we lift up our hearts and our voices together, Lord, may your spirit descend upon us and help us to know your presence true. Lord, keep us safe as we continue to worship you together. And Lord, we ask these things in the Lord's name, Jesus' name we pray, our Lord, Savior, and friend. Amen.
All right, if everybody could please stand, we're going to sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
It's always nice to have your own little cheering section, amen. Now, everybody says they miss church, but what y'all really miss was that adorableness right there. I tell you, it has been a virus. It has been a change. How many of y'all would say it has been a great change? Since the beginning of churches, everything just kind of shifts and everything kind of makes things different from here on out. And what I have really missed is this. I miss walking around and I miss talking like this instead of sitting behind the camera. It is very aggravating when I know I can't see people and talk to them. So this is so relaxing. This is nice. I like this. The only thing I wish is I could see half of your smiling faces, because most of you got it covered up. No, but truthfully, I tell you, change is not necessarily a bad thing, but it always hits you kind of hard, doesn't it? Because you weren't expecting it. Especially when you walk into a store having to keep six feet distance. distance and wear a mask and wear gloves, because you know that it's possible that something could get you sick and possibly even take our lives. So we spend the extra measures about being safe. Here's one thing that I've noticed. Things have changed a lot. I've seen definitely changes at Walmart. Mostly not. I've definitely seen changes out when I go out to eat. I can't sit down anymore. I have to go through a drive-thru, eat it in a parking lot if I want to spend time away from people. I have noticed that when I am talking to people, people keep an arm's length distance now. I've noticed that a lot of people who were once huggers are not huggers anymore. I've noticed a lot of changes. Even when we have family and friends over, and we know that all of us are healthy, but still there is that silent barrier that's between us and them. Just keeping things distant and safe. Here's the thing, I know a lot of things have changed. I know a lot of us are worried about how things are never going to be normal again. But there's one thing I want to reassure us and everybody who listens to this sermon online. There are some things that don't change. Can y'all say amen to that?
Amen.
There are some things that will never change. There are some things that are so steadfast in our faith that it is the foundation of which we live. I don't know about you, but the way I live my Christian life does not dictate how I go through McDonald's drive-thru.
Amen.
And how I live my life does not dictate upon physical touch. It doesn't dictate upon handshake. It doesn't dictate upon hugs. It doesn't dictate about how the culture has said we can no longer do these things. That doesn't make my happiness. It doesn't make my peace. It doesn't make a lot of things in my life, but the things that need to be stated are the things that are constantly the truth. We're going to be in our text, and let's do as we normally do it. If you will please stand, we're going to read the entire chapter of Psalms chapter 121. We're going to start in verse 1. I'll have the verses on screen ahead of you if you don't have your Bibles. Psalms chapter is only 8 verses. Psalms chapter 121 verses 1 through 8 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. And the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and shall preserve thy soul. And our last verse, the Lord shall preserve thy goings out and thy comings in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this scripture verse. We thank you for the people who have come. And Lord, more so than anything, I thank you for us worshiping together. Lord, we do not take light the fellowship of people coming together in one faith to lift you up higher amongst each other. And Lord, that we all may know that we find you to be a pinnacle in our lives. Lord, we thank you for being with us. We thank you for not changing. There is no shadow of turning in you. So Lord, we ask that may we not focus our weary eyes and our weary spirits upon a world that is ever changing, for we will never find our footing in a world that's constantly shifting its culture. But Lord, we can find our rock on you. And Lord, we thank you for being that perfect God who never changes. And Lord, we love you and we ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. In Psalms chapter 121, it starts off, he says, from whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. Not from the hills, not from anywhere else. He says, it comes from a perfect God. You know, as I was studying for this message, I wanted to be as beneficial to our people as possible. I wanted something that we could grasp on and hold on to in the midst of an ever-changing world. And the only thing that came back to was a never-changing God. One of the greatest things that I found when studying for this is if you look all throughout the history, there is seldom a generation that doesn't go through something like this. There is seldom inside of Scripture we had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all of their families and all of Israel was killed off and enslaved, and their entire lives changed. We see this with the disciples in Christ even. For 3 years, they followed the perfect man, without sin, and the Messiah himself. And then instantly, he was ripped from their arms, and they were alone. In every aspect, in every generation, no matter it be war, no matter it be famine, no matter it be disease or virus, no matter it be spiritual consequences, everybody's life changes, and it's seldom for the better. But let me tell you something. You know what was very a common thread from way back in Bible days to this day? We've made it. We've made it. God's helped us through it. Will it be more difficult here on earth? Absolutely. Things are going to change. It's just going to have to be. But it doesn't have to be spiritually difficult. We can make through it. We can press through. Our help does not come from the government. Our help does not come from physical touch. Our help does not come by fellowship. Our help comes from the Lord and the Lord only. We can look in and day out, and we can go in the most bottom parts of our lives when we are the most sorrowful, when we're the most hurting, and we can turn to a never-changing God, and we know that He will be there for us and help us. It's an amazing thing to know that God will always be there. As I kept going through the generations in Scripture and generations through America, and I thought back on some of the hardest things that have ever hit us. You look at the Great Depression. How many of you think we would be at where we're at? If you were to look back at the pictures of the Great Depression, some of us, even as little children, may have even been a part of that. But you get to the point where you see that there is, I remember looking at pictures of New York City during that time and how people were just brought up being homeless at that point. They just threw everything out and they began to live on the streets because there was no way that they could pay for anything. You get to the point, even the stock market crashes in the 90s. And I remember watching on the television as people jumping off of skyscrapers and towers because there was no more money. How many of y'all remember those graphic video news reels? Who'd ever thought we'd have bounced back? Who'd ever thought that we would have a working economy again? You look back at the diseases that have happened throughout all of time. Not too long ago, it was swine flu. Not too long ago, there were so many diseases that just wiped our country clean. But guess what? We made it. We're here. Were there losses? Yes, there were. But as a nation, God has pulled us back up. As a people group, as a Christian group, God has strengthened us. He has guided us. He has built us. He has barricaded us. With His protection, we have made it through. The strongest of the people, I believe, are the people who lean upon the hardest on God's never-changing character. This is where we need to rely. I know the world's going to change, and I know it's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt our pockets. It's going to hurt our health. It's going to hurt our happiness in ways that I cannot even describe. But there's one thing that I do know. If our happiness is rest upon our money, or our happiness is rest upon our health, or if our happiness is rest upon anything but God, it's going to get taken away from us. But today, let this sermon and everybody that hears it be aware of this one truth. Our happiness needs to be immensely, completely, 100% put into our relationship with God. Because the world's going to break. The world's going to hurt. The world is going to stop. But the bottom line is God will never hurt you. God will never separate Himself from you. He will always be there for you. The world does not give happiness, but God gives peace. And with that peace comes happiness. And with that peace comes an ease. With that peace comes everything you would ever dream, but it has to be your focus. And that's where we need to focus our minds. Will the government change? There's no doubt about it. That's what politicians do, amen? They change their minds. Will going to the grocery store change? Will our meals change? Yes. Will our friends change? Sadly, but yes. But the truth of the matter is that we need to rely on that one thing, that God will always stay the same. The second half of this is that, one, I believe that our peace and our happiness is stated only in Christ. I believe that's where we should all be. But secondly, I also think that there's a great reward, a great calling that happens during this time. And I believe if we as Christians, if our happiness comes from God, I'm staying 6 feet, but I just can't stay on the stage anymore. This is too freeing. I tried to do it, but I have to walk. Here's the thing I want us to understand. If our happiness and what we believe, that everything that we have in our lives is based on our relationship with God, then that makes us the hope dealers of this world. The whole world is looking at nothing but a rain cloud. It's looking at gray skies and overcast, and it is something that will be misery from here on out. The world will never be the same again. That's all they're viewing. But as Christians, we have the opportunity to tell people there's a silver lining. And I want people to understand this. The world will only upset you over and over and over again. And if you think this is the last crisis you're going to live through, you are sadly mistaken. The world is always going to upset us. It teases happiness, but then rips it away from us to leave an empty hole in our heart and for us to fill it with anything we can put our hands on. The truth of the matter is that the world will leave you more empty than you have ever felt. But God will fill that void and never take it away. That is our message. That's what we're called to do. For those of us who are on social media, it's about time we understand that our calling is to let people take their eyes off of the gray storm cloud that is in the politics, gray storm cloud that is in COVID-19, and go to the silver lining that is Christ. We can make it. We will make it. Y'all say amen to that. And Lord bless it, if it be my time to go, to live as Christ and to die as gain. Ain't nobody going to scare me into skipping out on church service. Ain't nobody going to scare me from reading my Bible. Ain't nobody going to scare me from praying, because my relationship with Christ is the most important thing. And that's what I'm going to keep telling people. If you find yourself scared, take a minute, relax. Know that this is not everything. The most important things can never be taken away from you. Your hope, your faith, those things that God has given you are sacred. The world cannot damage it. The world cannot take it. The devil cannot damage it. The devil cannot take it. Those are things we give up willingly. I want to encourage you to stay strong. Remember, God is in control. The world is destined to hit bottom. Y'all do know that, right? How many of y'all have read the book of Revelations before? All right? Y'all know how it's going to end. It's not going to be sunshine and roses and the next day the trump. Yeah, well, not the president. Y'all know what I'm saying. Yeah, the trumpet. The whole idea here is that it is slowly going to get worse and worse and worse. And if our hearts are in the world, we're going to get worse and worse and worse. But if our hearts are on God, listen, the world can't change enough. We have the necessary ability, the duty to tell people that there's a silver lining. It's our call. It's who we are. I believe that on social medias it should be posted. I believe that in our personal talks it should be boasted. I believe when we meet each other, it should, you know, have you ever done a study about how it is that the Hebrew world greets one another? Shalom. What does that mean? Do y'all know? Peace. Peace. And it was this underwhelming that when they started the conversation, it was all God. God was the one that was giving peace. It was not about, listen, I don't know what you're going through, but God will give you peace. Shalom. And as they left that conversation, you know what they say? Shalom. You come into this conversation knowing that God is the giver of your peace, and you leave this going, may that be something we constantly be aware of. Our conversations need to be directed to giving glory to God and peace to those who need it. I don't believe that our people are neglecting of this. I just believe that there are some times it needs to be preached and understood that it's our responsibility to give a silver lining. The last thing, and let me throw up another verse before I get here. In It's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. It says, "But sanctify the Lord your Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer, or to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear." Let me get through this verse again before we get to our next minute, but I want to dissect this, and I want y'all to see it. People are asking people, why are you hopeful? Y'all see that in the text? He says, be ready to give an answer when people ask you, why are you hopeful? So if your life does not beam hope, and people are not asking you, where does your hope come from? I have to ask you, are we living the Christian life the right way? Did y'all catch that? Let's say it again, just in case. I believe, and I'll say it as a statement, I believe if our lives are not beaming hope, if we are not pointing out the silver lining and telling people, yes, the world is in a bad place, but I'm not in a bad place. I am with God, and I have a promise, and I have heaven, and I have everything at my disposal because my God loves me. If our lives do not beam that, proclaim that, I believe we're doing it wrong. In the midst of COVID, if our lives are not hopeful and people aren't looking at us and saying, why can you be so happy? Did you not hear? We've lost thousands of people to this thing. Have you not heard that my favorite restaurant has closed down? Have you not heard? Yes, I heard. My favorite restaurant closed down too. But that's not my happiness. This should be who we are as people. He says, and be ready for that answer. Be ready for an answer for every man who asks of you, where does your hope that comes from? And answer with meekness and in fear. Verse 16 says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. And when they turn around and mock you for being happy in the midst of a crisis, know this, that eventually, when they realize it doesn't change you and what you said was true, shame is the only thing that comes after that. The Bible teaches us that this is the pinnacle of what we should be. And when everybody's running around like a chicken with their head cut off, that's good Alabama talk, amen. When everybody's panicking, when everybody's losing their minds, and you're sitting there going, man, it's just a pretty day, twiddling your thumbs on a rocking chair, know this. People are watching. People are looking for that kind of peace. People want to know what makes the change a person's life to when the most drastic things that happen in our generation do not affect us, because our peace is with God. The last thing and the last verse that we're going to get into, coming out in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For ye have said, I will never leave thee. And y'all aren't supposed to finish my verses. Did I ask? No, I'm just playing. He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's how I was going to say it before I was rudely interrupted. Now listen, I love y'all. Y'all feel free to read my slides anytime. He never changes. He doesn't change on his position. He doesn't change in his stances. He doesn't change in his relationship. He is the giver in the relationship between man and God. He is the supplier of every need. He is the king. We are the servants. And as a good king, he loves to make our lives good. One of my favorite verses when it describes God's loving careness for us is even in the Gospels when he says, when Jesus is speaking, he says, when you ask of your Father for food, does he not give you stones or food? A loving Father gives food. You ask for a fish, he doesn't give you a serpent. You ask for peace, God will give it. You ask for love, God will give it. You ask for a comfort, God will give it. He's never going to change. That is His desire. That's His want. How many of y'all agree with that? Say amen. God wants to bless those. There's no end to that sentence. How many of y'all have ever heard the saying, God blesses those who bless themselves? Well, my Bible teaches me that He rains grace upon the just and the unjust. That God is not a respecter of persons. Y'all shout amen for that one. Now, that was a Baptist amen. I'm looking for a Pentecostal amen. Y'all say amen to that. There you go. We're going to have an Alabama camp meeting up in this place. It doesn't matter who we are, and it doesn't matter what you've sinned, and it doesn't matter. God loves everyone. His position never changes. Our circumstances do change. Sometimes we're sick. Sometimes we're lost. Sometimes we're a roundabout just wrong. But God never changes. Never has and never will. That's the greatest thing about Him. I could have just committed a sin and a hardness in my heart, guilt and shame. I can go to that place where I know that God is always there. Do you want to know where that place is? It's a choice. You see, God is not flesh and bone. He's not at just one place. He's all places. He's with us at every moment of our lives. When we sin, when we neglect Him, when we forget about Him, when we choose not to see Him, He's still there. Just because we haven't acknowledged it doesn't mean that He's not there. God is always there. And all we have to do is choose to see Him. Take a minute and pray, and He's there. He wants to listen. One of my favorite verses, quote, He is faithful. Just to forgive those who ask. That's all you have to do. Turn away from your wicked ways. Acknowledge Him and turn to Him, and He will answer. God wants to answer. God wants to bless. God wants to heal and to forgive. God wants to give peace and happiness wherever He can. It's about time we ask for it. I don't want a raise of hands, and I don't want you to testify at this point. But I do want us to bring this back home and bring this to a close. How many of you've been scared in this COVID? Don't answer and don't raise your hands. How many of you've been scared to get close to people? So it's forced you into hiding. How many of you've had a small panic attack? And I'll testify to this, and there was a time I sneezed and I was like, oh, nope, I'm dead. This is how it ends. Preacher's got the COVID. And you think like that because that's how it's drilled into us. But as soon as I said that, the minute I started, I knew what I had to do. I had to pray. I had to spend that time in prayer because I needed peace. And there was no pill, and there was no doctor, and there was no time away from people that could ever give me peace. But God could give me peace at that very instant because I know that He's above it. He's beyond it. If He can heal a man from death, and if He can heal a leper, and if He can heal a blind man, then He could heal whatever it was that made me sneeze. COVID or some dust, I don't care. God could have helped. I want to encourage you. Some of you might be already here, but there may be a few of us who are not. I want you to have peace through this. Amen for being back in church, right? And it's only going to get better from here. But I want us to spend a minute in prayer. If you have peace, then bless God. You're one of the faithful few. But if you had a panic attack, if you've been scared, if you've been fearful for you or your family, let God give you the peace that passes all understanding. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You with hearts wide open. Lord, there's nothing between us right now. Lord, we need you. And this nation needs you more than it ever has. Lord, I pray for a revival to sweep over across this nation. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would speak clearly. Lord, that every house would have an anthem, that every father and mother would have a prayer, that every child would want to be obedient to their heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that a smile be placed upon our faces, knowing that people would see that we have a silver lining, that we have a hope and a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I pray that we have that peace. Lord, I pray for those who have come today, and Lord, that your Spirit rest upon them as a comfort. Lord, we ask your blessings to be upon us as we look to a nation that yells at us that we're in danger. May we have the steadfastness to have that verse stapled onto our hearts, to live as Christ and to die as gain. Death does not scare us. Sickness does not mend us. Lord, we will survive. We will live in this world or in the next. Death is nothing but a passing through a door. Lord, we ask that you bring that peace. You bring that comfort. And more so than anything, Lord, you would help us to be light in the midst of darkness. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Our Lord, our Savior, our friend.